Because I have, sometimes I have the Zoom, am I recording? I am recording now.
Oh, cool.
I have a split screen right now. Mm-hmm. So I have Zoom on one side, but I also have all your work on the other. But anyways, this is recording now.
Oh, great.
So I'll start. Hi, this is Stacey Menger, Reader Services Librarian, one of your hosts for Turn the Page podcast. I'm here with my co-host,
Jessica, community engagement specialist and also a librarian.
Ooh. And we're here very happy to talk with our guest author, who is
Elizabeth Bass, who writes as Liz Ireland and also as Liz Freeland, but mostly as Liz Ireland today. So
Well, welcome.
Split personality you're talking to.
I love pseudonyms, I have to say. I'm like always a fan. And I'm especially like a big fan when you find out that you're fans of, you know,
both, oh yeah,
and they're one and the same.
Yeah, when you find out Ruth Rindle is Barbara Vine and and you've got 100 more books to read.
I guess that's kind of a little bit of anxiety though, but not a bad kind, you know. Like I always feel anxiety because there's so many books I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to know.
There are so many books to read. It's amazing.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
And one of the ones I want to read, which I like legit do, I'm not just saying this because we're interviewing you, is your book Under Liz Ireland, which is the Mrs. Claus and the Santa Land Slayings. First, the cover grabbed my attention because it's really cute. But when I was reading the brief summary about it, I was like, oh my God, this is interesting. Okay, she's marrying Santa? What?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was watching... before, as I was kind of coming up with the idea for a Christmas series, my editor had said, oh, well, we want to do a Christmas series and, you know, we've got several ideas, maybe a Mrs. Claus. And I said, okay, that's it. Stop right there. And, he was kind of open about whether Mrs. Claus should be, you know, some kind of generic Mrs. Claus who lives in, you know, United States somewhere, or plays Mrs. Claus, you know, in a department store or whatever. It could have been anything. But I think I had been watching The Crown, the first series of The Crown, right about then.
Which is fabulous. I knew I liked you.
So I was looking, thinking about it. I was thinking, God, you know, what would the clauses be, you know, but kind of the Windsor family of the North Pole, you know. So I wanted to have her marrying into this kind of North Pole royalty family that might be in a little trouble a lot of the time and have a lot of personalities that she has to negotiate around. And so that was sort of where I was coming from with the Mrs. Claus marrying into the Clauses. And she doesn't know he's when she meets him, she doesn't know that he's Santa Claus at first because he's on vacation. He visits her inn under an alias and they fall in love and he has to kind of fess up that, you know, this is who he is. It would be a kind of shocking moment, I think.
I think that's... I'm trying to think if that were to happen to me. Listeners, you can't see us, but briefly, my husband walked in and then walked back out.
I had this really weird moment where I saw him on your screen, and I'm like, who is that behind me? Oh, no, wait, that's Stacey's house. Oh,
that's my husband. Because he works in our office from home. That's his computer in the background. Just like to be like, oh, by the way, I'm also like someone that's like really popular, like worldwide known celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a perennial favorite. I mean, think of pretty much anything, you know, you've either got like the Princess Diaries where you're the secret princess, or the Prince in the Eye where you meet the prince and suddenly he's like, by the way, I'm the prince.
Yeah.
Let it happen. Yeah.
Like, so, romance novels with the Duke in disguise as somebody else, you know.
But this time it's Santa. So she's marrying into the Claus family and she begins to solve a murder.
Yeah, there's an elf. He's kind of a bad-tempered elf. He's an artist. He does ice sculptures and he loses a contest and he gets very angry. And Santa has, her husband, April's husband, has judged the contest and poor Giblet lost. And Giblet gets angry and starts yelling at Santa Claus. And the next morning he's found dead. So, and under mysterious circumstances. So, actually it looks bad for Santa. You know, people are wondering, this is quite a coincidence that this elf throws a fit at Santa and the next morning he shows up dead. So it looks kind of like Santa might be a suspect. And so April has to kind of go into amateur detective mode. You know, she becomes sort of Miss Marple overnight because they have a local constable in Santa Land, but they aren't really used to a lot of murders, and so, or any murders, and so he's not the most competent. His name is Constable Crinkles. He's an elf.
I love the names.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun thinking of elf names in my spare time. This is what I do now.
I think cozy Christmas stories are such a favorite of people for so many reasons.
Yeah, they are. They just, I don't know. It's sort of like when you were a kid and you wanted to watch Rudolph and the Charlie Brown Christmas Story every year over and over. I think that's sort of like what cozy Christmas stories do for us. You know, it's just a...
And I see here that you got a starred review from Publishers Weekly on the story.
I was amazed by that. I've written a lot of books and not many of them gotten star reviews. And I thought, wow, okay. But no, it was good because this was actually my first cozy mystery. And so I felt, I don't know, it felt good to have that kind of, I don't know, vindication, or I don't know what you would call it, affirmation going forward. So
it's your first cozy mystery. Are you a fan of the genre? Do you read a lot of it?
I do. I like cozy mysteries, but mostly I'm a little odd because most people say, oh, write the book you want to read. But I've always written sort of different books than what I really crave reading. I always read psychological suspense. I love police procedurals, like Tana French is so great, and Jane Casey and all those. I love British books too, I have to say. I'm very fond of them, so, both on television and reading them. So I've always liked cozy mysteries too, and I love the fun of cozy mysteries. I like humorous things too. So whenever I want something funny, I usually turn to a cozy mystery.
That's
traditional fun. Mysteries, you know, like I love Golden Age crime mysteries too, which usually have a little humor in them.
But I feel like people like having the humor. I've recently found I like having humor in a book that I'm reading.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, like, yeah, I get, that's funny, I get this. And
yeah,
I like seeing it more because sometimes I'll read like humor, like romance, humor chick lit.
Mm-hmm.
To start off stuff, and I'm just like, oh, no, like it like brings it fun. Like I'm a fan of gore stuff. Like Jessica knows I read a lot of dark stuff normally,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh, this book is so messed up.
And that's she's the one. She gets me. She really helped me on my leap from being a children's librarian of 15 years to. to adult like literature. but I feel like cozies, they're almost like sugar cookies, you know, they've got there's something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much any any setting possible. I mean, you know,
Like Santa Land.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that, you know, like you put together, like almost like, a royalty of Santa Land. So were you basing the characters specifically on the Windsors, or did you kind of?
Well, they're not really the Windsors, but I just wanted to have a kind of like inside the palace feel. They live in a castle on top of Sugar Plum Mountain, Castle Kringle. And there's, you know, there are servants running around. You know, they've got the kind of main manservant Jingles is sort of April's sidekick and her partner in crime, kind of in investigating. And so I just wanted to have a kind of a world of kind of that's set apart from everybody else, you know, that she's marrying into. So that she's, you know, they've got the castle, and then you've got all the people in Christmas Town and the elves. And then there's another sort of suburb where all the worker elves are who work in the workshop and the candy cane factory and all that business. So there's sort of it's sort of a recognizable Santa Land, but it's just enough different where I think people will think, oh, well, this isn't quite what I was expecting, you know, because there are tensions among the elves and tension between the elves and the humans, which are mostly the Claus family, because, you know, they live up on the mountain in the nice places and have the sort of privileged lives while the worker elves are just the worker bees of the whole country. So they're trying to change that. There's a little kind of revolution going on in Santa Land.
I love it. And like, I have to ask, does April communicate with anybody from her former life? Is she allowed to, or does she have to sort of mask who she is now?
Oh, no, she doesn't mask who she is in Santa Land, you know, but, but she does have, she was running an inn in Oregon on the coast, and in a town called Cloudberry Bay, and she is keeping the inn, and she and Santa run the inn during the summer, but they're kind of incognito. They still, the town of Cloudberry Bay still doesn't know she's Mrs. Claus or that he's Santa. And that comes up in the next book a little more, because they've already had a summer in Cloudberry Bay, and people just don't quite know what to make of him. He's sort of, they're wondering if she married a beach bum. They don't, what does this guy do? She tells all these stories about how he's rich, but, you know, he doesn't seem like it and doesn't seem to have a job, you know?
That's hysterical. Because I saw that you're working on the second one to do, mm-hmm. that's coming out, I believe, summer of next year.
Yeah, it's going to be set around Halloween, because April, Mrs. Claus, really loves Halloween, but they haven't really ever celebrated it in Santa Land before. So she wants to bring Halloween to Santa Land, and things get a little out of control. There are different things that people think of as scary, you know, because she thinks of, you know, Frankenstein and Dracula and witches, and you know, they have all their own little scary things, like demented reindeer and snow monsters. And she doesn't really, she's introduced to this concept. So there might be an abominable snow monster coming through Santa Land at some point.
I was going to say, it's
don't want to have any spoilers.
Like but it sounds like it's almost like a reverse of Nightmare Before Christmas, instead of bringing Christmas into Halloween Town, Halloween Land.
Yeah,
I forgot what they call it. It's bringing Halloween into Christmas Town.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think it's cool, because when I was reading the summary of like, oh, this looks interesting, and I'm just like, I can imagine being in Santa Land, being like, what's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? Have my own Jack Skellington moment.
Yeah.
But I like it because it evokes that, which is like a movie that I love. But I also love, even though I don't celebrate Christmas because I'm Jewish, I celebrate it anyways. But I mean, like, I love watching the films and all that, like, nostalgia. But you have, like, you know, you make it, you said, like, it's not quite, you know, all perfect. There's tensions. You make it realistic. You make it more human, even though there's talking reindeer and snowmen and elves.
Yeah.
You have the, like, it's believable. It's not too far off of like, oh, like, okay, like fantasy.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, that's one thing about cozy mysteries that it's always kind of, it's that weird balance because there is just this fun little, it's usually, you know, this little isolated world, even if it's in a city, you know, it's this kind of little neighborhood or this small town or Santa Land or whatever. But then there are all these murders that have to happen. So you're kind of balancing, you know, fun and, you know, people you want to meet over and over again with the idea that, oh yeah, but these murders keep happening here. and somebody has to be committing them and there has to be some conflict here. So it's fun to introduce, you know, fun, happy atmosphere and then inject a little murder into it.
Yeah. Which is great because then, I mean, I think like listening to you say that, it's kind of sparking just memory of a lot of crime shows that I've watched in the past, and specifically, and this is as far off from cozy mysteries as possible, but like, what is it? Special Victims Unit with Chris Maloney. What is it? I forget the name of the college that there's a fictitious college within that world. And like everything, there's so many horrible crimes that take place there. And I say to my husband, I'm like, who would send their child there? Like, really? Why? So, you know, I mean, I would take the random elf, you know, murder that has to be solved over some of the stuff that happens at that college. But it is true. There is sort of almost like, I mean, people really love the formula. They love the formula of the police procedural. They love the formula of the cozy, and they love the formula of the Law and Order, you know, whatever version it is. But it is true that like a lot of times they circle around these areas that you're just like, why does all of this horrible stuff happen here? Yeah.
And you kind of have to develop a little amnesia or else that, you know, everybody would be talking about it all the time. Like,
well, this came up with another cozy author recently, although I think it was more off screen, the movie Hot Fuzz. I don't know if...
I don't know that movie.
It's a Simon Pegg and Nick Frost movie. They're British. But basically, the main character is sent to take a job in a cozy little town in Britain, which is supposed to be like town of the year always, but there's always these accidents that happen there. And it's not cozy, it's very gory. So if anybody's listening to this and expecting this to be cozy, it's not. But, you know, I don't want to give away why this happens, but that becomes the focal point, you know, and everyone's just like, oh, another accident. And the police,
like, oh, well.
The police officer who's used to the big city is like, this many accidents do not happen. Like, what is going on here? Which
it's an entertaining movie.
It's an entertaining movie, but
it almost makes fun of the police procedural in a way, but like throwing the cozy town because you know they have, you know, the small supermarket and they have, you know, the garden shop, and then you just have this like cop that's like the ultimate like police officer, everything to a T, like knows everything, and he's like this is not, how do you not see what's going on? And people are like, oh,
it's fine.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess there's humor in that. Otherwise, I don't think I could have taken the other parts of that movie. But speaking of which, so when we're talking about movies, do you have like a favorite mystery series or a cozy series?
Or movie, TV show or movie.
Yeah.
Oh, TV show or movie. Huh. Well, let's see. I love all the British Broadchurch, River, all of those mysteries. Actually, I love, you know, I love the books of Tana French, but I tried to watch that mystery series they made of her books, and I didn't like it as much.
I didn't even know they made that.
They did, and I just watched the one that was based on the first book.
Okay.
The In the Woods. No, not In the Woods. What is the first book called? Something about the woods.
I'm going to get it wrong. I'll look it up.
I think maybe it is In the Woods. I'm thinking of Ruth Ware also has
In the Dark. Yeah, In the Woods is the first one. And
In the Woods is the first one. So it's based on that one, and it just goes a little too dark. They're just missing something, I think. So I was watching that recently and thinking, I thought I would have really loved that one, but I didn't. But I love what's the one? Happy Valley. I thought that one is fabulous.
That one is so good. Yeah.
And the only sad thing about the British series is that they just don't last as long. Like I'm ready for Happy Valley to go on for 10 seasons, but they don't.
Aww.
So.
And another question, I guess I'm just thinking, do you have a favorite Christmas story or film or TV series? Not TV series, you know, like.
Well, I love old movies. So I love all the old Christmas movies, like Christmas in Connecticut and Shop Around the Corner is probably my favorite one of my favorite movies ever. Which I guess it's considered a Christmas movie, I think, because it kind of ends at Christmas and it's got that great ending. I love It's a Wonderful Life. It was always one of my favorite movies. I have arguments with people about this because they think it's cheesy, but I think it's a really good movie. Trying to think of other ones.
No. I like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but Mickey's Christmas Carol.
I've never seen Mickey's Christmas Carol.
So when you were talking before about getting back to your book about April bringing Halloween to Christmas, it kind of reminded me of the Christmas Carol in general. And you know how, mm-hmm. like, apparently telling scary stories during Christmas was a tradition at one point. You know, you have like a Christmas Carol, which is a ghost story set in Christmas. Mickey's Christmas Carol was, you know, like Disney Christmas Carol, but it was genuinely scary to people, including myself at points.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. And you know, like they had like Scrooge McDuck was Ebenezer Scrooge, but it was, it was really, really good. And it was a really good adaptation of A Christmas Carol for children. And it still sticks with me. And like I said, I thought it was scary as a kid. And then my kids turned it on last year. And I'm like, don't watch this. This is too scary. And they're like, Mom, this isn't scary. And they were like, four at the time.
Yeah.
No, I thought you were going in terms of scary, because I thought you were going to say like Krampus.
I haven't seen that yet, but I would like to.
I haven't seen it, but I know the like legend behind it, or the story. No, I like Frosty from back in the day, but I'm also a huge fan of like Love Actually.
Oh yeah.
I also like I like Home Alone.
Oh, that is a Christmas That's a funny movie one. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, the first one, and I'm trying to think of it. I keep forgetting if you want to throw some scariness into it. I love Gremlins, but I don't consider it a Christmas movie. But it is a Christmas movie because it happens during Christmas.
Well, I
don't associate it with
in the Halloween story. I have an elf who is he's trading in black market bootleg horror CDs about Christmas, like that, Black
awesome.
Christmas, and
this sounds like the most fun thing to write ever.
I know it is, and I have to say, this has been the best year for writing about elves. You know, it's just been so great to be able to think, okay, I'm going to shut down my, you know, shut down all the social media and the news, and just write about Santa Land for 8 hours. It's been really nice. There's an elf who gets in trouble for his black market, you know, trying to bootleg Black Christmas. And then when Halloween comes along, he's got a whole new, you know, whole new series of movies he can sell. Horror movies. They're not allowed in Santa Land.
I could imagine why not. But is this a series that you know how many you're going to go into, or it's just like fly by the seat of your pants?
We're flying by the seat of our pants right now. I, you know, it depends on how popular they are. That's always the, you know, that's always one thing. And then I've kind of imagined it so that it doesn't have to be for Christmas. We want to do one where they go to the coast, like maybe for another holiday, maybe 4th of July, you know.
Oh, cool.
Santa's, you know, doing them incognito in the oceanside town would be fun. we had actually thought about doing a Santa cruise for a while, but now cruise ships have become not as fun sounding as they used to be. So
I'm glad I didn't
write that one.
Yeah, because crazy times with everything going on this year. But yeah. Did like COVID or anything affect your writing or your publishing schedule?
It hasn't so far, not for me. I know that a lot of books have been pushed back to next year, but none of my books have. And it actually seems like people are reading more than ever. I know, you know, I'm reading a lot, so I imagine. And I know one of the first things people wanted opened up in my town was the library. So I'm sure you guys felt that too. Or do you have people coming into your library yet? Or are you still doing?
We do. We're open, I'd say, since the end of June. We've been open back to our full hours.
Oh, good.
And I'd say in the past month, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Jessica, in the past month, listeners, it's like the beginning of November as we're discussing this, but in the past month, maybe month and a half, we've let people come in and sit for mm-hmm. an hour or longer if they want to, because we haven't gotten a lot of people that like mm-hmm. cram the
but they have to wear masks the whole time.
Yes, everyone has to wear a mask. But you can, if you need to study for an exam, like we've had a few college people come in. I know nothing about kids coming in because as reader services librarian, I deal mostly with adults. Mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of people interested in like taking out, we have book bags where we have usually like 10 copies of a book and like some info about the author or discussion questions. Mm-hmm. Come for that, or trying to think of what else I come for. Books. They've loved coming in to be able to browse when we let that happen, instead of like, we're only allowing people in for certain hours. Now it's like coming out, but it's still a lot of people do the curbside. Yeah. But they were happy when we opened up. And I've been happy to be able to like get my hands on books, because when we were, we did lockdown, and I was like, I took one of our, we lend out nooks with preloaded books. I took out that. I was like, all right.
Good.
But I will fully admit I didn't read anything on it, and that's because my kid is a baby, and I read are baby books right now, with the exception. So that's been fun. So I'm excited to get really back into reading, even though I've been back at work for a while. But I'm excited for your book, to get my hands on it, because
good,
it just seems so fun. And like, now that Halloween's over and I don't need to read about all the scary stuff, I could read about Christmas things, because it's such a fun time of year, and it's so many things with Christmas, which I feel also apply to cozy mysteries. Mm-hmm.
I had a friend I was talking to last night, and I had sent her a copy, and she said, I think I'm going to save this for the Christmas season. And I thought, that's a good idea. It came out at the end of September, and it's been kind of odd, you know. I don't know, it just seems wrong somehow, you know. It's like putting up your Christmas tree before Halloween or something, but
but every year it comes, it's sooner and sooner. Like it was maybe like September when I started seeing stuff about like Thanksgiving, and I was like, what? Yeah. I got like a thing about like Christmas clothing and holiday clothes. I was like, it's not even Halloween. I'm I'm not going to look at this. But that wouldn't affect me reading it. I just think it's, you know, a good book's a good book.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's 2020, and I just feel like, okay, well, people can read about Christmas whenever or put up their lights in, yeah. in August if they want to. Let's just, whatever gets you through.
Yeah. But I wanted to say thank you so much for talking to us today.
Oh, it was fun.
Would you like, come back next summer?
come back whenever. Open invitation.
Oh, good. I'd love to. Yeah, it's been fun talking. I don't know if we did we talk about books much. It seems like we just talked about movies and stuff. So it was fun. My favorite thing to talk about.
It's always exciting. Yeah. So, listeners, we've been talking about I totally was going to ruin the title and be like, what am I talking about?
The Santaland Mysteries.
The Santaland Mystery.
Murders.
Mrs. Claus and the Santaland Slayings. And it's very exciting. You could contact and ask a librarian about the books. And this has been another chapter. We're going to close this chapter of Turn the Page. I almost got that wrong. This is your host, Stacey Mencher.
And Jessica.
With our lovely guest author,
Liz Ireland.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. She did mention before she has other books under different names. Check those out too.
Yes. I also write a historical mystery series under the name Liz Freeland. So.
I was looking about that. I think it's really cool that you did like World War One. It was before around that time. I mean,
around New York City around World War One. So, yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's a little different than you know Santaland. So, but it's been fun talking to you. I really appreciate coming on, and hope we get anytime. To talk again.
Absolutely, yeah. Without a doubt. Thanks so much.
All right,
thank you.
We'll reach out.
Okay.